The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
Morning, all.
Morning.
Open up to Mark chapter 7. And we are looking at 31 to 37. Man, isn't this fun? Our first baptism.
Amen.
The glory of God. Fired up. I am fired up. Okay, let's go ahead and read. If you're open up there, I'm reading from the ESV, just so you know. Sometimes when someone reads a different version, I just like to close my eyes because I get confused. But maybe you don't. Okay, so verse 30, 31 to 37, this is what it says. Mark chapter 7. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put the fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Verse 36. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Okay. So I think this is the first time I've said this in our study of Mark. But there are no parallel passages. This is the only place in the Gospels where this event takes place. Okay? So no parallel passages with that. But I have 2 points of emphasis, and I believe they will be up behind me. Look at that. Isn't that fancy? Don't have to see my first grade when I used to teach handwriting, so that's good. But the first point of emphasis is this. Compassion for others comes when we walk with the Lord. Compassion for others comes when we walk with the Lord. Okay? And our second point of emphasis, I took it right from the scripture. He has done all things well. He has done all things well. And I love that because it reminds me of what John the Baptist says in the Gospel of John. He must become greater, I must become less. But I want to challenge you with this second point of emphasis. And here's how I want to challenge you. This would be a great part of Scripture to meditate on this week. This would be a great part of Scripture to hide in your heart. He has done all things well. When circumstances don't go your way, He has done all things well. When you're attacked with lies, He has done all things well. I encourage you to do that. I'm going to do that this week. But I want to open up today by going back to Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. So please turn back a couple pages. And this is fun because, remember, Jesus gave this man who was demon-possessed a call. He put him on mission. So let's read here Mark chapter 5, 18 through 20. And I encourage you on your own time to go back and read all of Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. But I'm just going to look at the last three verses here. But this is what it says. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Verse 20. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So this man that John Mark writes about through the eyewitness account of Peter was a demoniac, and he was set free by Jesus. Remember, he was in the graveyard, and he was dangerous, and he was violent. He wore no clothes, and everyone was very afraid of him. And although Mark does not state this, Matthew 8 tells us that there were not just one of these men, but two of these men. There were actually two. Okay? But our scripture reveals that after Jesus delivers this man, after he sets him free, he wants nothing more than to do what? To go with Jesus. He wants to be with Jesus. And that makes sense. But the Lord, as he often does, had a different plan. His plan was, no, you have to stay in your hometown because I'm putting you on mission. You're going to go throughout Decapolis and you're going to speak about what I've done for you. You're going to speak about my wonders and my majesty and bring glory to God about how you've been set free. So he puts the man on mission. And just as I speculated a little bit last week in Mark 7:24-30, I believe that our scripture will point to the fact that this man obeyed Jesus' call. Indeed, he did tell about the wonderful things that the Lord did. And he proclaimed his name throughout the region. So here's what I'm reminded by this man's testimony. If you're visiting with us today, we often say blue letter. And when we say blue letter, here's what we mean. How would God call us to respond to his word? What is he asking me to do? So looking at this man's example, what is he asking us to do? See, that's the call for us. The call for us is we are saved to speak about his majesty. We're saved to speak about his goodness. We're saved to share his glory with those around us. In other words, what are you doing? You're telling people what he's done for you. You're telling people how he rescued you from the pit. You're sharing your testimony. You're sharing how God has freed you and how exciting this afternoon, seven of us get to do that in front of our loved ones. We get to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided that he is my treasure and he is my pursuit. And that's what's going to happen. So think about that as we get ready to look at our passage. Turn back over to Mark 7:31-32. I know it's a long way. Okay. So here's what it says. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. So as we know from last week's passage, where has Jesus entered? He's entered pagan territory. We saw that with the Syrophoenician lady. He's now in a Gentile land. And many believe, and I think they're on track here, that Jesus' plan was to enter this land so he could pour into his disciples. See, it was time to amp up how he would train them. It was time to amp up what it looked like to follow him. And this was his plan, to ultimately prepare these men to build his church, to send them out on mission. So he directed his attention toward them. And remember what happened, and you'll read this in Mark chapter 5. Remember what happened. Jesus was begged the first time he came into this region to do what? To leave. Jesus, leave. This makes us uncomfortable. We don't want you here. We don't want to see your power. So Mark 5:17 says just that. And they begin to beg Jesus to depart from their region. But as we read last week, see, this time is different. Things have shifted. Things have changed. We encountered a lady who was pleading with the Lord to free his daughter from demons. And then today's scripture takes us back to Decapolis. And this time, notice the difference. The people are waiting on him. They're anticipating his arrival. more evidence for us as we look into the text and we go back to chapter 5 that this man who was demon-possessed, he shared his story. He shared his adoration for Jesus. How cool is that? See, the people anticipating Jesus' arrival, this group of people, they have a loved one that they've watched suffer for years. And they bring him to the Lord because he couldn't have come on his own accord. And if we go back to Mark chapter 2, I don't know if you remember this, but remember the three men that brought their friend who was lame to Jesus, and they begin to move the pieces of the roof and lord him in front of Jesus? It's kind of the same thing. This man is depending upon his circle of those that love him. Okay? So he depends on them. And because they care for him, because they love him, they are committed to seeing him healed. And he's not completely helpless. But we learn from our scripture that he's deaf. He's deaf. And that he can barely speak. He can barely speak at all. And if we study this passage, what the language in it presents to us is that this man was probably not born with this condition. Something must have happened to him to cause this. And they've watched him suffer. They've watched him be in despair for years. And how hard must it have been for this man? Not able to hear anything around him and barely able to communicate at all. Caught up in this silent world. People have trouble understanding him. Self-conscious. So lonely. And think about today. There are people with impairments today, of course. But what's different is there's no hearing aids. There's no glasses. There was no voice machines. There was no medical advances like we have today. And we know that people in our circles with these things, they struggle. As our bodies fail us, we struggle. Ecclesiastes 12 promises us that our bodies will struggle, will fail us. They will. But hard enough for people today, but this man didn't have those things. And so this is his situation. This is where he's at. So pick up in verse 33 with me. And taking him aside, Jesus takes him aside from the crowd privately. He put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. So we've watched Jesus heal in many different ways, haven't we? He uses a different approach with different people. Based on their individual need. Remember what he did with the leper. He touched the leper. Can you imagine what that was like for that man? He told the lame man, your sins are forgiven. Because the man believed that he had this condition because of his sin. Or because of the sin of his family. He commanded the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath. He said, stretch out your hand. He gently took the little girl by the hand and raised her from the dead. And in our study last week, he healed the woman's daughter possessed by a demon, and he wasn't even present. He said, daughter, your faith has made her well. And remember the lady's faith. And keep this in mind, because this is important. When Jesus did the miraculous here on earth, the miracle was accompanied by his teaching. See, when he healed, when he delivered people from demons, when he performed the miraculous on any level, there was a spiritual lesson. There was a spiritual level that accompanied it. It accompanied what he was doing. And Jesus was teaching people about what he ultimately came to do. Don't forget Mark 10:45, one of our key verses. All of it pointed to the gospel. Every bit of it. The Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to save and to give his life as a ransom for many. But I have to be honest, I love how Jesus responds to this man. I do. Pay close attention to how he approaches him. Notice he pulls the man aside, away from the people. And is it probably not because he's self-conscious? Is it probably not because he doesn't want attention drawn to himself? He's not looking to be a spectacle for the people. He's had people look at him all his life because of the things that he struggled through. And Jesus, in tune with the Father, as he always was aware of what this man was feeling. And as a result, he removed them from the masses of people. And he gave this man his full attention, the full attention of God looking this man in the face. Imagine that for a moment. And we see what happens here. The Lord is meeting this broken man in his circumstances. So stop for a moment and think about, how did the Lord meet you? How did the Lord reach you? How were you saved? See, we all have different stories because God used different approaches and different people and different circumstances to win our souls. Aren't you glad that with the Lord it isn't one size fits all? It's not. See, he takes a different approach. He takes a personal approach. He's good. He's so incredibly good. And in a few weeks, Richard has agreed to share his testimony. September 30th, during the service, he's going to share his testimony. And church family, one of the most edifying things we can do is hear one another's story. Tell what Jesus has done for us. Tell how he has saved you. Share what he's done. So a quick plug. We'd love for you to do that. We'd love for you to come up here. It's not as bad as it looks. It's really not. Okay? We'd love for you to come up here and share your story about what Jesus has done, because there's nothing more edifying than to hear about the grace upon grace upon grace that our God has given us. See, it encourages. It builds up. We celebrate with one another who God is, just like we get today, right? Yes. Okay. All right. So, Jesus meets this man in his broken state. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Jesus knew the man could see, and he knew the man could feel. So he gets down on his level. He looks him in the eye, and he communicates in a way that the man can understand. I don't recommend you do this the next time your loved one is sick, next time you visit the hospital, but notice what Jesus does. He puts his fingers in the man's ears. I'm not sure what kind of response you would get there, but I don't think it'd be good, okay? And especially with this one. And next, he spits on his finger and puts it on the man's tongue. Don't do that one, all right? Now, why is Jesus doing this? Well, we have to understand, during this time, saliva was almost seen as a healing balm. That's how people saw it. But what is Jesus doing? Why did Jesus choose this method to heal? Because again, he's getting down on the man's level. He's speaking his language. He's approaching him gently and in love. He's speaking a language the man can understand. And one might even say he's using a form of sign language. I want you to see exactly what I'm doing for you. I want you to see why I'm doing this for you. And I hope that encourages you today. I hope that encourages you. That the Lord gets down on our level.
Do you see today how much the Lord Jesus loves you? He loves you so much. How much He loves those, because we're all pleading that He save those in our circles. We're all imploring with God and asking Him, Lord, give them eyes to see, give them ears to hear, give them a mind to conceive who You are, Jesus. I want them to see You, Lord, the way that I see You. Will You open their hearts? Will You soften them? See, He's personal. And He goes after a man's heart and their brokenness. He meets us in our circumstances. He knows us all intimately, personally. So here's a question for all of us. Are we just going to church? Or is our relationship with Jesus personal? Do we treasure Him? Do we know Him? Do we love Him? Put your finger on verse 34 for me, please. Let's keep reading. And looking up to heaven, He sighed and said to Him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. So Jesus, still looking this man in the eyes, He looks up to heaven. Why does He look up to heaven? Because He wants this man to know where the healing has come from. He wants this man to know that it's come from the Father. But there's also something else to take away here. When Jesus looked up, when He looked up as He looked at this man, He's revealing His dependency upon His Father. My food and drink is to do the will of the One that sent me. So a question for us again. Do people see you and I acknowledging Jesus like Jesus acknowledged the Father? Do people know that we are followers of Christ? Or do they know we go to church? Do people know we are followers of Christ? Or do they just know that we go to church? Hard question, but one we have to take seriously. And be careful not to miss this part. Look at the heart of Jesus. What does He do? Jesus sighs. Did you see that? He sighs. And there's a lot to learn from the Lord's sigh. First, the man could not hear the sigh, but no doubt he saw the sigh in Jesus' body language. He saw the sigh in Jesus' reaction. And what's the sigh reveal? It reveals the love and empathy that Jesus has for him. The sigh demonstrated that Jesus was there to bear his burden. He was there to be with him. He hurt for the man. Felt sorry for him, but the man had experienced for years. It reminds me when Jesus approaches Mary and Martha after Lazarus has died. When Jesus sighed, He showed this man His love for him, but He also showed His indignation. Toward what? Toward sin. And toward the suffering it had caused. His sigh also pointed to the anger he had toward Satan and his kingdom. And similar to what we read, very similar to Jesus' sigh when He raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus sees what sin has done to Mary and Martha. He sees what the works of Satan has done. Genesis 3 must have come to His mind. But last, His sigh was directed toward Israel. Because over and over again, we've watched that even his disciples showed over and over again a lack of faith. God had come to save them. He'd come here to save them, and very few received him, received who he was, or received the message he preached. They just wanted their circumstance changed, right? So our first point of emphasis, compassion for others comes when we walk with the Lord. Compassion for others comes when we walk closely with the Lord. So let's chew on this for a moment. Are you not amazed at the Lord's compassion for this man? He's so tender. He's so gentle with this man that's hurting. So where's Blue Letter? What does that look like for you and I? See, when we draw near to Jesus, we're not self-absorbed. We're not focused on us. Walking closely with the Lord gives us eyes to see where the people are around us, how they're hurting, where their pain is. Hiding the truth of God's word in our heart brings us to that place. Compassion for others, empathy for others, bearing the burdens of others, comes when we hide the word of God in our hearts. We know our God, and we know his character. And when this is true, we are way more likely to bear the burdens of others and pray for one another. I've challenged you for weeks again and again to know one another's burdens, to ask how one another is doing, to know how you can pray for one another, so that during the week you can do just that. We can support one another in prayer. It's so important for us as a church, and it's so important we see those around us where they're hurting and we meet them where they are. We meet them with the truth. And we show them what it means to come to God on his terms. Look at verse 35. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. So immediately, and remember with Jesus, it's not 10 minutes later, it's not 5 minutes later, it's immediately. The man is able to hear, and he is able to speak clearly. Because whatever the Lord speaks, whatever words come from his mouth, they come to fruition. His words are power, and they are life. Isaiah 35, 5-6 says this, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." See, Jesus healing this man was also prophecy fulfilled. Remember, the physical healings, what Jesus did, the miraculous, had spiritual implications. So him healing the blind, those who were spiritually blind, would have their eyes open to see the truth about Jesus. That those who were spiritually deaf would have their ears open to understand the word of God. That those who were spiritually lame would run after their God. And those who were spiritually mute would speak of the wonders and majesty of their God and to praise his name. And then verses 36 and 37. And Jesus charged them to tell no one
But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Now, if you think back in our study of Mark, Jesus has said this over and over again. Tell no one. And probably most likely because the opposition that he was receiving from the Pharisees and the scribes, probably because he needed to pour into the disciples more, and probably because there were more areas to preach and share the message with, because he was coming under heavy fire on a regular basis. But just like the man with leprosy, what did the people do? They did the opposite. The people had heard the testimony of the demoniac. But it's different now, you see. Because now they're eyewitnesses of his power. Now they're eyewitnesses of his glory. And they're in awe of what they've seen. And they can't keep quiet. And they cannot help but worship. Because he's touched this man's life. So our last point of emphasis, I just want to focus on these words. I want to camp here. What they say in response to their amazement. He has done all things well. As I said at the beginning, what a scripture for all of you to meditate on this week. What a scripture for me to meditate on this week. I pray that you join me in doing so. He has done all things well. Now we could for the rest of the day, just speak about this scripture. Speak about our God who is eternal. But let's just touch on a few things. For those around you who are lost, remember Jesus has done all things well. All things. So we've got to keep praying. We've got to keep tapping in to who the Lord is. Because he's going after their heart just like he went after yours. He's convicting those around us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He's showing them their desperate need for him because he has done all things well. He came to the earth. He lived perfectly. He walked in nothing but righteousness and holiness. This one blows my mind, especially when I think about the guy that cut me off yesterday. But he constantly walked in the Spirit. Think about your morning. Jesus constantly walked in the Spirit. He constantly lived in dependence upon his Father. Every thought pure. Every word true. Every action to the glory of God. Every temptation overcome. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. Never one sinful thought. Never one sinful motive. Never one sinful action. Never one sinful word. But instead, the fruit of the Spirit flowed out of him constantly. Praise his name because he has done all things well. He served everyone that came to him. How? In humility. He put aside his physical needs for the glory of God. He has done all things well.
See, he loved through tremendous suffering. He put aside everything when he was mocked, when he was belittled, when he was beaten to the point of death, when a crown of thorns was placed on his head. He has done all things well. See, while being nailed to the cross, he cried out to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." While suffering in agony, he cared for his mother, for the joy set before him of you and I knowing him and walking with him. He bore every sin of mine and yours, past, present, and future, on his body. He took the punishment that we deserve. He endured the full brunt of God's wrath, of God's righteous anger. He was forsaken by his Father. He was abandoned by everyone that was close to him. And he fulfilled the requirements, the just requirements of a holy God. He died in victory and to the glory of God, the Father was completely satisfied. He conquered death and victoriously rose from the dead. He is the giver of life and lives in those who follow him. He has done all things well. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. His power is never ending. He is sovereign and will reign for all eternity. He has done all things well. He is my hiding place. He is my joy. He is my peace. He is the only one worthy of my worship. He is worthy of my time. He is worthy of my adoration. He is worthy of being my life. He is my only hope. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. I will share with him for all eternity in his glory. He has done all things well. I can't encourage you enough as you spend time in your devotions this week, as you have your quiet time with the Lord, whether you're in the Old Testament, whether you're in the New Testament, whatever you are reading, to remember these words. He has done all things well. Bow your heads. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for each here. And Lord, to your glory, we have an opportunity today. We have an opportunity as your church body, Lord. We have an opportunity as individuals who are going to be baptized today, to in front of all those we love, Lord, all those we've invited, God, to speak about your glory, to tell why we adore you, to tell why we love you, to preach the gospel message. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. Lord, I pray for each here. And here's what I ask you, God. I ask you, Lord, that you help them meditate on these words, that these words would fall into their heart this week, God, that as they draw close to you, Lord, that you would open up to them even more what this means. God, we could spend all day talking about how you do all things well and not even scratch the surface. We thank you for that. Lord, as we behold your glory, as we behold, God, who you are, like John, Lord, it felt like a dead man, God, to see you, the resurrected Christ. God, we ask you, Lord, that you help us this week to do that.
We ask you, Lord, we take seriously, Lord, and I pray that your word has fallen on good soil. It's only by your grace, God. It's only by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.